Luke chapter 14, and we're reading from the verse number 16, please. Then said he unto him, this is the Lord speaking, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it, I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, I go to prove them, I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the lord said, Unto the servant, go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of the men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And we're ending at verse 24, and as ever we look to the Lord to bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts here this afternoon. A survey was carried out a number of years ago at what we will eat over the Christmas period. And apparently on Christmas Day, the average person will consume 6,000 calories. That's 3 times the daily allowance, I think it is, for ladies. They say that before we even sit down and have our lunch on Christmas Day, we've already consumed something like 2,000 calories. I think perhaps there may be less consumed this year on the lead up to Christmas because of many work dinners and events have had to be cancelled. But nonetheless, there's no doubt that Christmas time can be a time of feasting. I want to talk this afternoon about this famous parable in the Word of God, the parable of the great feast. Luke 14, verse 16, we read it together this afternoon. Then said he, that is Jesus, unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I believe it's a wonderful picture of the gospel here this afternoon. It's a wonderful picture of what the Lord has spread before you if you don't know him this afternoon. Please note that it's a feast and it's not a funeral. Some people have the idea when you come to Christ, it's nothing but gloom and doom and sadness. But I have to tell you from my experience, and every child of God here in Refilin this afternoon will tell you, they knew nothing about real joy until they met Jesus Christ. Remember, it's a feast. It's not a funeral. Remember, it's a feast. It's not a famine. Some people think when we come to Christ, we're going to be deprived of so much. We have to give up so many things. Let me tell you, what you gain from knowing Christ far outweighs anything. Anything that you may lose or may have to surrender when you come to Christ. Remember, it's a feast. It's not a funeral. It's a feast. It's not a famine. Remember, it's a feast. It's not something to be fearful of. Many people are afraid to come and trust Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. My wife decided recently that she was going to bake one of these flans. She hadn't baked one for years, and she followed Mary Berry's recipe. I have to say, it was really, really nice. It was delicious. But let me tell you, when it comes to this feast this afternoon, there's no recipe. There's no other feast in the world that can compare with what the Lord sets before you. Verse 17, the cry goes out, Come, for all things are now ready. What a simple word come is. Found, I think, over 3,000 times in the Word of God. You know, God the Father says come. Isaiah 1, verse 18, Come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. No matter how bad you are, no matter how deep dyed your sin is, no matter how wicked you may be, how sinful you may be, God the Father says, come. And he says, come now, and let us reason together. God the Son says, come. Matthew 11, verse 28, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you burdened? Are you burdened with everything that's going on? Are you burdened with your sin? Are you fed up fighting against the Lord? Is the Lord just saying to you simply this afternoon, Come unto me, and I will give you rest? God the Father says come. God the Son says come. God the Holy Spirit says come. Revelation 22 verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Will you just come? Just come the way you are. You know, if you're feeling sick, you don't try and make yourself better and then go and look a doctor. The Lord's not asking you to try and clean up your life, try to make things better. The Lord just wants you to come and to come the way you are. Come, for all things are now ready. Everything has been prepared. Everything is ready. I spent some time in Eastern Europe down through the years preaching the Word of God with Slavic Gospel Association. I remember we were in a house one day, we were going to get lunch, and it takes them about 3 hours to prepare what they're going to give to you. And to be quite honest with you, by the time you get it, it's cold. Now, they're quite happy with that, but I find it difficult to eat something that's cold. But here's an invitation, and it says, come now, don't be waiting, don't be hanging about. Come now, come, for all things are now ready. Nothing to be done, nothing to be added. The Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross, said, it is finished. All you have to do is acknowledge your sin in the sight of a holy God. Understand that Christ died on that center cross for sinners. Realize He died for your sin. Repent of your sin. Trust Him as your Savior. And what a glorious feast the Lord has for you this afternoon. Why will you not come? Remember, it's not a funeral, it's a feast. It's not a famine, it's a feast. It's not something to fear, it's a feast. It's something to enjoy and something that will be a blessing to your soul. Did you notice it's a parable of the Great Supper? And you know, in Hebrews 2 verse 3, we read these words, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Titus 2 verse 13, we're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Everything about this feast is great. Everything about salvation is great. Great is the provider. Paul described it in Romans 1 verse 1 as the gospel of God. God promised it. God provided for it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Great is the provider, God. Great is the provision, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of grace. Listen, our sins were many, but as we sometimes sing, His mercy was more. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see, the provision, it's great. It can take care of your sins. Great is the provider. Great is the provision. Listen, great was the price. Great was the price. I'm sure that some restaurants you know, and you may avoid them because they're far too expensive. I'm not sure. Here's the most expensive meal, and yet it's absolutely free for you. Because for God to provide this lavish feast, for God to be able to provide this wonderful gift of salvation, Jesus Christ had to go to Calvary, and He had to shed His precious blood. In whom we have redemption, Paul says, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What a feast we have before you this afternoon. Great is the provider. Great is the provision. Great is the price. Great is the plentifulness. You know, I remember when I was in the youth fellowship in Coke, we invited a youth to come one night, and far too many people came. We didn't expect a half of the crowd. We had to tell our own young people, don't eat anything. Because if you eat anything, there'll not be enough left for those who are visiting. But listen, there's no problem with this feast. Do you know what Paul says in Romans 10 verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to recognize your need, acknowledge your sinfulness, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and come simply, come humbly, just come as a sinner like I had to do, like everyone here who knows Christ had to do. Come just the way you are and take Christ as your Savior. Enjoy this marvelous feast. This feast that forgives your sins, this feast that justifies you, this feast that redeems you, this feast that sets you free, this feast that will have your name written in heaven, and one day you'll be there. You see, it's not only great because of the provider, and because of the provision, and because of the price, and because of the plentifulness, but even for the period. You see, this is not something just for time. This is something for eternity. This feast lasts for all eternity. The Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you see this great feast? There's so much we could say about it this afternoon. Let me break it down very simply. I want you to see the invitation that's sincere. I wonder, were you ever invited to something and you wonder, do they really want me there? You know, when we sent out our wedding invitations over 30 years ago, the postman, he took one of our invitations to the wrong house. And the man opened it and said, oh, it's good to be invited to the wedding. They responded and said they were coming. I didn't have the heart to tell them they weren't invited. And this couple turned up at our wedding, even though we hadn't invited them. But you see, there's no mix-up here. Here is a sincere invitation. God makes no mistakes. God wants you to come. Jesus Christ wants you to come. The Spirit of God, the Triune God, is saying to you this afternoon, come. Come, for all things are not ready. And you see, you can be sure that He wants you to be here. How can you be sure? Look at Calvary. Look what He paid in order to be your Savior. In order to have this wonderful feast of salvation, Jesus Christ had to go to Calvary and die on that cruel cross. And if you have any doubt about the sincerity of the invitation, just spend a moment thinking about Calvary. Think about the battering and the beating and the bruising. Think about the nails. Think about the thorns. Think about the weight of your sin and my sin laid on the shoulders of our wonderful Savior, for God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. You know, sometimes we're invited to a meal and we say, you know, that's the last thing I need. I can have a little look at the scales, and when I stand on them, I nearly think two people standing on them, and you get that little embarrassed and that little bit frightened. And when you're asked for a meal, you think, well, it's the last thing I need. Let me tell you, this is the thing that you need. You need this more than anything else. I know we want to get rid of the virus. I know we want to get back to normality. And there's so much that all of us want. Here's what you need more than all of that. You need to come to Christ. You need your sins forgiven. You need to come to this feast. Let me tell you, it's sincere. It's sincere. God is inviting you. Triune God. God's people are inviting you. Your wife's inviting you. Your husband's inviting you. Your daughter's inviting you. Your son's inviting you. Your friends are inviting you. And they're saying the same thing, come. For all things are now ready. This invitation is sincere. This invitation is sumptuous. Did you ever go for a meal and were disappointed? Did you ever think, really, it wasn't all that good? Well, you know, there's no disappointment here. You see, there's pardon for the guilty here. Micah 7 verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Acts 13 verse 38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man Christ is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You know, one of the things that President Trump will do if he leaves office, he'll grant pardons to many people. And in past experience, many of the presidents have pardoned some very unscrupulous characters. Unscrupulous characters. There's nothing dodgy about this pardon. This pardon is above board. This pardon is absolutely genuine. If you come to Christ on the merits of Calvary, your sins, which are many, will be wiped out, removed, nailed to His cross, and you'll bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Listen, there's pardon for the guilty. It's a sumptuous feast. You know what there is? There's power for the weak. I'm sure, like me, you're thinking, if I got saved, I couldn't keep it. I couldn't uphold the standards. I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. Here's the good news, you don't have to. You're kept by the power of God. 1 Peter 1 verse 5, listen, I don't know much of a sheep. I see a lot of them in Rough Island at certain times of the year. But one thing I do know, the sheep don't look after the shepherd. The shepherd looks after the sheep. And there's one called the Good Shepherd. And if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, you know what, you have everything for life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do you know what you have? Everything for death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Do you know something else? You have everything you need for eternity. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a sumptuous feast. There's pardon for the guilty. There's power for the weak. Are you afraid? Listen, when you come to Christ, He will give you the power to live for Him. I'll tell you what there is. There's peace for the troubled. How can you know any peace when you haven't got that peace with God? And having made peace through the blood of His cross, we're told. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes people will ask the question, Have you made your peace with your Maker? That's not a good question, although I understand it. Because peace has been made. And the question is, have you accepted the peace that has been made? Because He has made peace through the blood of His cross. You know, you can know peace with God. You can know the peace of God. Isn't this a sumptuous feast? You'll never get anything like it in the world. The invitation's sincere. The feast is sumptuous. Think of the scope. Luke 14 verse 13. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind. You know, this is just a picture of sinners. We're poor, we're bankrupt. I know the Chancellor of the Exchequer will be trying to balance the books of our country in a day yet to come. They seem to be spend, spend, spend. Well, there's going to be a day of reckoning. Listen, we're in debt to God and there's going to be a day of reckoning. And you without Christ, you're bankrupt spiritually. And the Lord's asking you to come. Asking you to come. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Poor, the maimed. It's a picture of somebody unable to do something for themselves. Spiritually, you can't do anything for yourself. You just accept the gift by faith. Poor, maimed, halt. That speaks of our walk. Our walk's not right. We cannot walk to please God. It's not in man. It's not in our nature. But you see, those who are poor, those who are maimed, those who are halt, those who are blind spiritually, the Lord's inviting you to come. He's not calling the righteous to repentance. He's calling sinners to repentance. He is the great physician. I'm told by a lot of people, if you want to see a doctor, it's very difficult at the moment. You could hardly get an appointment. You'd hardly get to see them. Here's the great physician. And He's available now if you'll come. This invitation is sincere. This invitation is sumptuous. This invitation, what a scope. Think of the seriousness of this invitation. You know, it's the great supper. Do you know what that tells me? It's the last meal of the day. Supper time's the last meal of the day. You know, He's inviting you to come because I believe we're living in the last days. Here's what He said in verse 22. Yet there is room. Listen, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Thank God, there's room at the cross for you. But here's what it says. Yet there is room. That word yet tells me there won't always be room. There won't always be opportunity. Death can come. Christ could come back. Many things can happen. My spirit shall not always strive with man. Listen, there's room at the cross for you here this afternoon at the end of November 2020. I cannot tell you that there'll be room tomorrow. This is a serious invitation. Tomorrow for you could be too late. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, then they begin to say, Lord, Lord, open unto us, but it's too late. It's sincere invitation. It's a sumptuous feast. The scope of it will take in you, the seriousness of it. It's supper time. Time is running out. The sadness of it. Did you notice that they all with one consent began to make excuse? One man said, I have bought ground and need to see it. Another said, I have bought some oxen and need to prove them. Another just said, well, I've married a wife. You know, these are all just lies. Who would buy land without looking at it? Who would buy a yoke of oxen? Anybody know a wife that wouldn't want to go for a free meal? This is all lies. These are just the skin of a reason, as someone said, stuffed with a lie. They were putting the material in front of the spiritual, the temporal in front of the eternal, the body ahead of the soul. Think of the man who said, I have bought a piece of ground. Do you know how much ground he needed at the end? 6 foot by 2. That's it. That's the only piece of ground that he will occupy in the end. Are you all caught up with the things of time? The things that are temporal? And you're not concerned about the eternal? And you're all making an excuse? See the sadness of it. How sad when you have a party and no one turns up. I remember one of our children, her birthday happened to be in the summertime, invited some school friends, and I think no one turned up because they were all away here, there and everywhere. It's so sad when you invite people to your party and they don't come. How sad when Christ is inviting you to come, when he has everything ready, when he has paid the price, when he went to Calvary for you, and yet they all with one consent began to make excuse. What excuse have you for Christ this afternoon? I'm nearly finished. You see the sincerity. You see the sumptuousness. You see the scope. You see the seriousness. You see the sadness. And then you see the solemnness. Here's what the Lord said. None of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Can you imagine God looking upon this gathering here in Refrain this afternoon? Men, women, young people. Some of you are not saved. The invitation has gone out in song. The invitation is going out through the preached word. Can you imagine if you reject Christ as your Savior and the Lord looks upon this mighty gathering here this afternoon and he says, none of those men, women, young people in Refrainland shall taste of my supper. Let that sink in for a moment. None of the men, none of the daddies, none of the mommies, none of the young people who don't know Christ, who got the invitation, who have refused the invitation, none of those who were bidden shall taste of my supper. Can you imagine that on the 29th of November 2020? God's inviting you to come. He's inviting you to come now. Now you're going to give him excuses. Are you going to accept him? I'm told that we're allowed to have 3 families for Christmas. I'm tempted to say the good news is for me, there's no room for the mother-in-law now because she can't come. When I bring my son and bring my daughter and their families and us, well, the old mother-in-law, well, we have no room for mother-in-law this year. Anyway, she told us she didn't want to come, but that's another story. But here's the thing. I don't know who's going to be in your family bubble at Christmas. But you know, we read about the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. I wonder, as a family, will you be in that bubble in heaven with the rest of the family someday as we sit down for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Or will you be excluded? Will you miss out? none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Let it sink in. Thank God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God he says to you this afternoon, come, for all things are now ready. Can you imagine if the Lord said, none of you will ever taste of my supper. Because you've driven out of this car park too many times. And you've driven out a Christ rejecter. And all he's had from you is excuses. Will you trust him this afternoon? Let's close in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the glorious gospel feast that's spread before us. Thank you, Lord, for many here this afternoon who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And Lord, we're thrilled that we're saved, and we know that one day we'll be in heaven with Christ for all eternity. But Lord, there are those still without Christ and without hope. Lord, will you speak to them? God forbid that anybody sitting in a car, in this car park, would ever have it said of them, they were bidden and they'll never come. Lord, we don't want anyone here to go to hell. And we're praying, Lord, that someone here this afternoon will reach out in simple faith, take hold of Christ, hear the invitation, come, for all things are now ready, and just come as they are. And leave new creatures in Christ Jesus. Lord, speak to hearts. Grant salvation blessing. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen.